Let's open our Bibles, please, with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to begin a new series of messages this morning that I have entitled The Core. The Core. You'll understand what I mean by that as we unravel this series. Today is kind of an introductory into the subject. How many of y'all believe that we live in an ever-changing world today? You know, change, believe it or not, church family, is the one constant in life. Everything is changing, it seems like, almost at the speed of light. Who remembers back in the mid-80s when, can I tread on some iffy ground, when you know, AIDS kind of got on the map and there was an awareness of this autoimmune deficiency syndrome disease. Who remembers that and the panic that it struck in the hearts of people because people, quite frankly, did not know how this disease, if it was communicable, if this disease could be caught by sneezing, if this disease could be caused by just merely shaking hands with another human being. Who remembers that? And, you know, it was not, can I say this, it was not a happy moment for the gay community because they were attacked viciously because of that. Now, let's fast forward now to 2021. How many of y'all know that that is one people group that is the most protected in our society now? I mean, who would have ever thought in your lifetime that you would see the day that there would be gender reassignment? Can we just, Pastor Joe, you're talking about other people's, and hold on, we'll talk about our own here soon. How many of y'all know that we've come a long way, baby? By a show of hands, who would have ever imagined in your childhood that we could travel space today? By means of, I'm not talking about astronauts, I'm talking about citizens of this country who have $250,000 to put into the pockets of Branson and Bezos, right? Who would have thought that we could put an average human being in space of weightlessness, over 53 miles up in the air above ground? Wow. Who saw that coming? You did, Terry?
Jetsons.
Yeah, The Jetsons. Of course, the gospel according to George, right? All right. Also, you know, who would have ever thought that we would have cell phones, that we would have cordless computers back in like late 70s or early 80s?
Star Trek.
Do you have a mute button, brother? You and your TV. You remind me of the guy in The Cable Guy. Remember with Jim Carrey?
Well,
that's just my luck. The reality is, church family, we live in an ever-changing society. We live in an ever-changing society. Who's also encountered change in our personal lives? Phew. Every morning I look in the mirror. You know, I saw one of my photos up there, and there's a gut hanging over my... And I said, that cannot be that bad. I'm a runner. I try to eat reasonably. And nope. I saw that up there and I'm thinking, oh, gosh. We all seen it. No, people, I do not suffer from Dunlap disease where my gut Dunlapped over my belt. But it's, what's that?
TV adds 10 pounds.
Yeah, the TV adds 10 pounds. So does the camera, right? Anyway, let's leave that alone. I don't feel comfortable myself talking about it now. But change is inevitable in our lives. Change is constant in our lives. Who would have ever thought, and I'm glad this is happening for our young families, that the government is helping them with tax credits. Thank God for that. My daughters are benefiting from that. But how many of y'all know that we didn't pay for that, that future generations are going to pay for that? Baby, let me break it to you. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Somebody's got to pay for that. There's change You know, there's that one song that goes, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Makes a great prayer too, huh? Okay, so have you found Hebrews chapter 1, please? Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to begin reading with verse 10. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hand. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak, excuse me, like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be what?
Changed.
They will be changed, but you, Lord, are what? You are the same, and your years will not fail. I love that about the scripture, that it says that we serve a God who does not change with the times.
Amen.
He is a rock. He is the ever-abiding God. He is the Ancient of Days. Malachi chapter 6, verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and for how long, church family? And forever. The same Jesus you read about in the Gospels, is he still the same today?
Amen.
Does he still forgive?
Amen.
Does he still love people?
Amen.
Does he still deliver people out of their messes?
Amen.
Yes. He's the same. He does not change. Now, did any of you ever read that book, very great book, back in the, late 80s, early 90s, I still can't remember the guy's last name, Stephen something, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People?
Yes.
Stephen Covey, is it? I think that's what it is. Stephen Covey, and listen carefully, he says in that book, because I want to point something out, he says that people can only survive change if they have a changeless core inside of them. Who all here, I mean, this is church, this ought to be a softball question that I'm tossing you. Who all here has a changeless core on the inside?
Amen.
Amen. He is the Lord who does not change. That is my changeless core. You know, times will change. Fashions will change. You know, I was telling somebody recently that sometimes when I look into my ever-growing closet, ask Miss Karen, she's like, honey, you can't put anything back in there anymore. I know. That's why the shirts stay so pressed, because there's just... But you know, I've thought about, you know, shirts that I haven't worn in 5 years, and I've done this before, that I've given them away, and then the trends come back in vogue, and I'm like, ah, I just gave away the shirt that's now trending, you know, 5 years ago. But listen carefully. Everything changes, but we have to understand, church family, that there is a God who does not change. And let me break it down further. What does that mean to me? Who's ever experienced unpleasant change in your life?
Amen.
Who's ever experienced sudden change in your life that was bad news?
Amen.
An unexpected death in the family? The loss of a pet? I know. A reversal of financial fortunes? I remember a couple years ago, my tax preparer said, Joe, this is not going to be pretty. You're not going to like this visit to your tax preparer this year. I said, why not, Ron? He said, you're going to owe the government $9,000. I'm like, You know, all of a sudden, it's amazing how when you think your financial portfolio looks pretty good and then you get that kind of news. Isn't it funny how we become very praying Christians after that? We might have been hit or miss in our prayer life, but after that, oh dear God, Lord, please, you're my provider, God. I've been a tither, Lord, you've got to help me out of this. You know, it happens. finances go down, something happens, drastic betrayal happens. Yoo-hoo. You know, I think I've mentioned before, and I'll describe it the way it felt to me when, you know, betrayal happens. And I never wish anything like this upon any of you. When my ex-wife told me she was wanting a divorce and she had asked me to move out of the house. It's funny how when you are the money maker and making those house payments, and then your ex tells you to move, or well, not at the time as the ex, but when she was my wife, she said, I want you to move out. Okay, I'll move out. And then she calls, I had to stop there. But anyway, but suffice it to say that the preparations are being made for the divorce. You know, that hurts. 29 years. How many of y'all know, you just don't get over 29 years of memories and life together just that easily. And then let's add salt to the wound. I'm not saying this to solicit sympathy, church family. I'm trying to connect to real people. And then you have an entire church you used to be the pastor of. Well, you are the pastor of, and they tell you, because you're getting divorced, arrivederci. They said, we're going to give you the option. Either you resign voluntarily, or we're going to fire you. I said, you know what? Consider this my resignation. You know the way it felt to me? Like, I had all this scaffolding. How many of y'all know what scaffolding is? If you're building or constructing something, you have to, there was a lot, we saw a lot of scaffolding in Chicago, didn't we? But I felt like all of my scaffolding that was part of my life, all of a sudden was completely removed. All of my relational friendships, Christian friendships, because as a pastor, you're more than likely going to have most of your friends, people you rub shoulders with in the church. And all of that, they turn their back on you and they say, deuces, I'm done with you. Can I ask a question, church family? How does that happen? How does that happen? A couple months before, they were saying, oh, pastor, give me your hand, brother. Pastor, you're such a good teacher of the word. Wow, pastor, you just blessed me. I needed to hear that. And then all of a sudden, they're saying, you know what? I don't, and they tell you, don't even use me as a reference for your next job. How many of y'all would call that change? From God's people who like to sing, and they shall know us, we are Christians, by our what?
Love.
Love. Well, baby, if that's the way you express love, you have a very funny way of showing it. Who's all tired? Listen, I'm tired of all these fickle, emotionally driven Christians who have no core values, who have no convictions, who have no sense of loyalty to other Christians.
Amen.
I'm tired of that. Listen, my Jesus is real. He never gave up on me. He never left my side through it all. Why do his people feel like they're above the master? Listen, if you haven't, I think we all have experienced enough of life to know this. Life will test your core. Who's ever experienced that?
Amen.
Life will test your changeless core. I'm thankful for Jesus. Listen, he is my changeless core because he can sustain all kinds of change and he still remains on top, doesn't he? He still is God. He still is Lord. All right, so now that we established that we all need a changeless core on the inside, what particularly is that core? What about Jesus is that core? Okay, we're going to look at two different aspects of Jesus today. We'll look at a couple more next week. These core expressions or characteristics of Jesus is what's going to hold us together in times of change, welcome change or unwelcome change. All right, let's go. Number one. The fact that Jesus loves us with an unconditional, crazy love that we've never done anything to earn, never done anything to deserve. We can never do anything to earn. How many of y'all believe that God's love is unearnable?
Amen.
How many of y'all believe with me that God loves you no matter who you are? That's what gives every human being with breath in their lungs hope of a better life through Christ. Right, church family? Hey, baby, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm preaching a lot better than I'm getting amens. You're right. That's good. Keep right. Because of God's love, every human being has hope. But Pastor Joe, you don't know what they're doing. Do I need to know? The Lord knows. Do I need to know? I mean, church family, come on, read your Bibles. God saved the most depraved human beings ever. Paul the Apostle was no cupcake. He was a murderer. He had women and children put in prison. Come on, somebody. He had people killed. He was a murderer by his own admission. 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, I was a murderer. I was insolent. I was a blasphemer. And yet, God's mercy was shown upon me.
Amen.
That love, baby, let me tell you something about God's love. It is not like the ocean's tide. It is not ebb and go, ebb and flow, come and go. His love is unchanging. Can I get a witness, please?
Amen.
Let's look at Isaiah chapter 54, please, up on the screen. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my, what kind of love? My unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has what on you? Compassion. Who's thankful, church family, this morning that his love is not shaken, his love cannot remove. There is nothing I can do to get God to love me any less.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe that with all my heart. By the same token, legalistic Christian, not you, you're the cream of the crop. For those listening through other means, listen, there's nothing you can do to get God to love you more. Think of your best day as a Christian where you were faithful, you gave, you served, you glorified God. Listen, God didn't love you more that particular day than the day that you had your worst day you've ever had.
Amen.
Where life tested your commitment. I mean, y'all know that will happen. God will even test your polite vocabulary. Can I say it that way? That's where we're going to leave it, people. I'm going to keep this message rated PG. Well, why not G? Because they call me here. I'm referenced here for other, but they call me the R-rated preacher for many reasons. I'm not a cusser, but anyway, I have a way of saying things. Right, Miss Sheila? She's going to edit that out. She's like, oh, yes. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8, please. Listen, but God demonstrates his love, his own love toward us in that while we were still what?
Sinners.
Christ did what?
Sinners.
While we were at our worst, Jesus expressed his love the most. He died for us. Do we see the message, church family? How much different would it be, would our lives be, if we lived perpetually with an awareness that God loved us unconditionally? Would we be secure in ourselves? Would we have to compete with other personalities? No. Would it be easier to pray? Would it be easier to serve others, serve our spouses, serve our kids? Come on, somebody, serve our grandkids. If we knew perpetually that God loved us eternally, unconditionally, that would make a huge difference. Listen, this reality that we're talking about right now has got to be square one of our inner changeless core. Who agrees with me?
Amen.
You've got to be convinced that God loves you. God is madly in love with you. He is not mad at you. We've got to believe that, church family. God is crazy about you. You know, Francis Chan once wrote a book, and he entitled it Crazy Love. That's the best way to describe God's love, isn't it? Crazy love. He gave us everything when we didn't give him the time of day. And he still gives us everything when some people don't give him the time of day. Listen, if you're listening through the radio, or if you're listening through YouTube or watching, let me say, my friend, Jesus will be the best friend you ever have. He gave all of his life for you. My question is, will you give your life for him? Will you say, Jesus, I open my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. I repent. Enter into my life, Jesus. Be the Lord of my life. Be my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. I receive you into my life. Can you do that? That's the greatest prayer you'll ever pray, my friend. Second reality. We have to understand, church family, listen to me. The second reality that will keep us steady amidst change is that Jesus is Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both what?
Lord
and? Both Lord and Messiah. Listen, whether I accept Jesus as Lord or not, he is still Lord. He's not Lord because I received him when I was 15 years old into my life. When I made him my Lord, that's not when Jesus became Lord. Who made Jesus Lord? God made Jesus Lord. Listen, I'm going to quote an old song by Bob Dylan. Basically, it's one of my favorite songs ever because it tells it like it is. You're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but baby, you're going to have to serve somebody. I mean, I cannot improve on that. That's just as clear as it's going to get. How many of y'all know that we're going to serve something or somebody in our lives?
Amen.
Who all is with me in saying, Jesus is the best one to serve?
Amen.
Because we're serving something. We might be serving that liquor. Ooh, come on, somebody. We might be serving those drugs. Cindy said, don't touch that little lid on the bottom of the bed. I said, what? I looked under. There was a long spoon and a little lid. Apparently somebody stashed some paraphernalia down there. I said, well, rich people can also be, because the room was spendy, I thought rich people can also be addicted. Yoo-hoo. You might be serving your lust. As for me and my house, we're going to serve Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord. Now, I think that we have a hard time with lordship because it is an old, old, old English word. It was back in the culture and society of the Lord and the vassal. The Lord and the servant, a master and a servant. Well, in America, how many of y'all know that this is not a kingdom? This is a democracy. It is a government by, for, of the people. So who is Lord in America? The people. See how sometimes we Americans have a big problem with lordship? Because we don't live in a kingdom. We don't live in a place that the king decides and the king's word is law. No, we have a white streak. Can I preach it the way it needs to be preached, family? We have a white streak of independence running down up and down our back. And if we don't like something, by George, we're the king and we're going to express our displeasure.
Amen.
Well, baby, that's fine in a democracy, but Jesus' kingdom is not a democracy. His word is law.
Amen.
He's a king. He's not an elected official. You cannot vote him out of office.
Amen.
You cannot impeach him.
Amen.
He's a king in his kingdom. And how many of y'all know his house, his rules? Gosh, I'm preaching a lot better than some of you. This is not bad. I told you, brother, the rooster be crowing this morning. So why do we have a hard time with practicing lordship in our life? Why do we have a hard time biting our tongues when we need to bite our tongues? Why do we have a hard time forgiving when we need to forgive? Why do we have a hard time, church family, listen, turning the other cheek? Well, I have a hard time with that too. Because we have been inundated with a mentality that we, the people in America, are Lord. As I once heard a preacher once say, he said, in America, because he preaches all over the world, he said, in America, you have to preach people unsaved before you can get them saved. You have to convince them that they're not saved before you can get them saved. Because a lot of Americans that don't know Jesus feel like because they were simply American citizens that they're saved and going to heaven. What? Is that the case, church family?
No.
You're going to be split in hell wide open. That lake of fire will be hot under your feet, baby. I'm telling you right now. You go to heaven on one name and one name alone, and that is Jesus Christ. It is not George Washington. It is not Abraham Lincoln. And it sure enough ain't riding with Biden. Sorry. Just trying to get y'all attention. Listen, let me qualify here. I'm tired of both of the aisles, okay? Human nature is human nature. I'm tired. I have my own values and a certain platform. But can I say it this way, church family? My hope is not in D.C. My hope is certainly not in Springfield, Illinois. My hope, sure enough, is not in Cook County, Illinois. My faith is in Jesus Christ to give me a better life.
Amen.
Tax credit or not, or those stimulus checks or not. You know, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And my grandkids don't have to pay for it. New sermon topic, new suit, new tie, new shoes. No, I shouldn't. It is true, but anyway. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. Chapter 6, rather. Let's get spiritual. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Those are the words of our Jesus, aren't they? So just because I call Jesus Lord, does that make him Lord? Who's ever found out that talk is cheap?
Amen.
Right? It takes money to buy communion juice. Listen, upon this second reality, that is our changeless core. He is Lord. I am not Lord. My job is to obey. My job is to love him back with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. And even when I struggle with sin, and yes, your pastor struggles with sin, like all of you other real Christians in this place,
amen.
Thank you, but I still have to acknowledge he is Lord.
Amen.
And I have to still look to him for help in my struggle. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
One last question. So you know, we're covering, we already covered the love of God has got to be a changeless core in our life. And also the lordship of Jesus Christ, that he is Lord. I'm not Lord. He's the best one to run my life, and I'm not.
Amen.
Right? Has got to be my core. How many of y'all like that? We do keep it real.
Amen.
Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this time together. Help us to live with that unchangeable core. Jesus, you are that core in our lives. There is no better core that we can lean on, hold to, cling to at times with our very own dear lives, Lord, when life is rough and life is jagged and life is difficult and changes come fast and furious. Help us to remain steadily footed on the rock of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. In his beautiful name we pray. Amen.